2 weeks ago tonight, we had a very special event happen here in church last 2 weeks ago Thursday, and that is that we had a baptism. Baptismal font was here, and a little girl named Madeline, a toddler, got brought forward to be baptized. What is it that makes baptism so special? It's not the outfit that the kids wear when they get baptized, and it's not the water. That's ordinary water from the sink in the room in the corner here. It's not the baptismal font. It's a nice-looking piece of furniture, I would call it, that we use for baptisms. But none of those things make baptism special. The thing that makes it special is that it's a sacrament that God gives us that creates faith and forgives sins and gives us our home in heaven. Today we're going to spend some time talking about our own baptisms and thanking the Lord for baptism. He reminds us that when we're baptized, our life is really changed. We're dead to sin. We don't want to sin anymore. And we're alive in faith and enabled to live as believers each day. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. My brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever were gains to me, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. We press on toward the goal to win the prize. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. God gave His word so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. The Scriptures testify about Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you, died on the cross to pay for all of your sins, and rose again to assure you of your salvation. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is an Old Testament lesson from Exodus 33. The Israelites had been camped at Mount Sinai, and they were waiting for God to give the Ten Commandments to Moses. When they got impatient, they made another god. They fashioned this golden calf out of all their melted down jewelry, and were worshiping that instead of the Lord. After they had repented of their sins, God had forgiven them, and He promised them that He was always going to be with them. He would continue to guide the people. They wouldn't be able to see Him, however. No one saw Him, not even Moses up on the mountain. He saw a shadow of the Lord, but he didn't see the Lord's presence in a physical way. But that's not what God meant when He said He would be with them. He would be with them to guide them each and every day. Moses said to the Lord, "Look, you yourself have been telling me, 'Lead this people up,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. So now, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, so that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider that this nation is your people." The Lord said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses said to him, "If your presence is not going to go with me, do not send us up from here. After all, how would the people know that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Isn't it in this way that you go with us, so that we are distinguished, I and your people, from all the people who are on the face of the earth? The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have said, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, Please show me your glory. The Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord in your presence. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. He said, You cannot see my face, for no human may see me and live. The Lord also said, Look, there is a place next to me where you shall stand on the rock. It will happen that, while my glory passes by, I will put you in a crevice in the rock. I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face will not be seen. Our psalm reading for this evening is Psalm 145. This psalm reminds us that God is compassionate when people are in need. I will exalt you, my God, the King. Great is the Lord and worthy of great praise. One generation will praise your deeds to another. I will contemplate the glorious splendor of your majesty. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The Lord is good to all. Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages. The Lord is faithful to all his words. The Lord lifts up all who fall. The eyes of all look eagerly to you. He opens his hand. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. The Lord is near to all who call on him. He grants the desire of those who fear him. The Lord watches over all who love him. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Our second reading is a gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. When someone thinks that they don't need the Lord and they're not sinners, they become arrogant in that way, thinking that they can save themselves somehow. In this Bible reading, Jesus tells us that when someone is that high on themselves, the message of the Bible is really hidden from them. But when we realize our sins and realize just how much we need the Savior, now we understand and we believe what God has done for us. What a blessing to know that we can come to Jesus when we're weary and burdened with our sins, and he will give us spiritual rest. At that time, Jesus continued, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from clever and learned people and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, because this was pleasing to you. Everything has been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. These are our scripture lessons. Please join me in singing our hymn, Baptized into Your Name, Most Holy. God's word for our study and encouragement are the words of the epistle reading from Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. Paul says, What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dear fellow worshipers, during the course of a year here at church, there's a lot of special things that happen. We had confirmation in May for youth and adults. We have other special things like Christian marriages that happen. Even Christian funeral services are things that we as Christians enjoy because another believer has gone home to heaven ahead of us. Well, one of the other things that's very special that I mentioned at the beginning is when people get baptized. Could be a baby, an infant, could be an adult, doesn't really matter. Baptism is such a wonderful thing, and for people that really haven't studied it, it's not just a ceremony. It's not just something that you go through, some sort of an act that you perform in church. What's really happening is that God is at work through the Holy Spirit, changing that person who's being baptized, changing their life forever. Well, whether you were baptized a long time ago or maybe not that long ago, your baptism is something that has changed your life and mine too. And for that, you and I can be very thankful. Because baptism does two things for us. It makes us dead to sin so that we don't want to sin anymore. And then it makes us alive in faith as we live here for the Lord and live for His glory. The Apostle Paul in Rome had done a lot of things to try and explain to people what God had done for them. He uses words like justify, that means declared not guilty of your sins. And normally when Paul used that word, it was in the past tense, justified. And that's important because that means that all their sins were forgiven. It's already done. Paul would use the word sanctify to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit and how they lived as Christians. Paul said all those things to encourage the people to live like believers. But there was a problem with these believers in Rome. They understood that they were forgiven, and now they were going to use that in the wrong way. They were using it to say, well, I'm already forgiven of my sins, so now I can do whatever I want, and I can go out and sin, and then I just have to come back and ask God to forgive me again. Well, that's not what Paul wanted them to do, and certainly not what God wanted them to do. So Paul reminds them that when they're believers, when they're living as Christians, they are to be dead to sin. Here's what he said again. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? These Roman Christians, they'd be tempted all the time, every single day. But Paul says they could be dead to sin. They could be dead to that desire to live in a way that dishonored God. If we're dead to sin, he says, how can we live in it any longer? Why would you willingly sin against God? If you understand what sin is and what Jesus has done, why would you willingly sin against the Lord? Well, where did all this start for the Romans? It started with their baptisms. They were baptized. And their baptisms gave them a special connection to Jesus. Since they were baptized, Jesus' perfection in this life was their perfection. Because they were having faith in Jesus, Jesus' death on the cross was the same as if they had died on the cross. All their sins were forgiven. Jesus' resurrection, that was their resurrection. Jesus was raised, so they would be too. They had this special connection of faith. And Paul says, if you understand this, you don't go back and sin again. You don't do that willingly. Instead, you want to live in a way that pleases God. Paul said, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" These Roman believers could consider themselves and should consider themselves dead to sin. They don't want to live in a way that pleases them. They want to live in a way that pleases the Lord. By God's grace, you and I have had the opportunity to be baptized. Baptism is really a simple sacrament, isn't it? It's ordinary water, as I mentioned earlier. We put it in our baptismal font and usually bring that to the center here and put the water in the basin. You remember what a sacrament is? We have baptism and Holy Communion. There's three things that make a sacrament. First is that they're instituted by Jesus. He starts them, and he did that with baptism and Holy Communion. The second thing that a sacrament does for us is that it forgives our sins. And Holy Communion, that we have the opportunity to receive tonight, that forgives our sins, assures us of our home in heaven, strengthens our faith. And the third thing that makes a sacrament is that it has an earthly element, obviously the water in baptism and the bread and wine in Holy Communion. It's not just a ceremony. It's not just an act that's performed. It's something that Jesus has commanded us to use. And by God's grace, that baptism gives you and I our special connection to Jesus. Jesus' perfection, that's our perfection. Jesus' death on the cross, that's paid for all of our sins. Jesus' resurrection, that's our guarantee that we'll be raised. We'll be living in heaven forever, just like God has promised us. And instead of willingly going back to sin, Paul would say to us, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And when we understand what sin is and what it does and what Jesus had to do to take away those sins, that's our desire, to thank God for the gift of our baptism and to realize that we're dead to sin and with God's help can avoid it in the future. We thank the Lord for this simple sacrament that he's blessed us with. We're dead to sin and wanting to live in a way that pleases the Lord. One of the questions that I often get about baptism is who gets baptized. There are some who believe that babies are innocent and pure, so you don't baptize babies, and you wait till later, till some kind of an age of accountability, maybe 14 years old or something. That would make sense, humanly speaking, but what does the Bible tell us about baptism? Jesus said to baptize all nations in Matthew 28 when he's giving the disciples their instructions. Jesus tells us that we're all conceived and born in sin. We inherit our sin from our parents, and from the time that we're conceived, we're sinful already. The Bible even tells us that when we have our faith, even babies can believe in the things that Jesus has done for them. God wants us to baptize everyone, including babies. And what a blessing it is for parents to have that wonderful confidence of knowing that through that simple sacrament, they're children of God. And as we get older, we're still children of God. And our baptism gives us that comfort and encouragement each day. Not only are we to consider ourselves dead to sin, but the second point Paul makes here is that through our baptism, we are alive in Christ. The Roman Christians, again, they were justified, they were sanctified, and what that really should have done for them was change their entire outlook on life. They had priorities just like anybody does, and if they understood what God had done for them correctly, their priorities wouldn't be earthly things, it would be spiritual things. Their values had changed. People get their value from the stuff that they can hold in their hands, things that they can put in their closets or in their garage. They value earthly stuff. But if they understood correctly what Jesus had done for them, they weren't going to value earthly things. Those were blessings from God. But faith, forgiveness, heaven, things that you can't buy with any amount of money, that would be the things that they valued. And their goals would be different. The goal for many people in earthly life is you only go around once, so live it up. Live it up and enjoy yourself here. Well, that can be a blessing at times, but that's not the goal for a Christian. We enjoy ourselves here, but our goal is to get home to heaven. And that means we're focused in on spiritual things, thinking about what God has done for us. Well, that's true of your life and mine as well. We are justified. We are declared not guilty of our sins. God has forgiven them and forgotten what they are. We are being sanctified, living as Christians every day, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit, helping us to live in our faith. And as we do that, our priorities change. It's easy to have earthly things as our priority. There's so much to be involved in, and so little time to do everything. But our priorities, it's not earthly things. It's what God has done for us. What we value, God blesses us with many earthly things in this life. And they're blessings, again. But the greatest things that we have are our faith and forgiveness and our home in heaven. And the goal that we have isn't to stay here. This is all temporary. We're looking forward to that wonderful home that God has prepared for all who believe. Jesus has given us those things, and like the Romans, there are times when people will struggle with that. So what does God do for us? Besides giving us the sacraments and bringing us to faith, what else does He do to help us as Christians? He gives us His Word, doesn't He? And every time you and I are together and we're studying the Bible, we're being guided by what God says, not what we think. Every time we have the opportunity to pray to the Lord, we pray for all kinds of things. But when we pray for our faith to be strengthened, to avoid temptation, for all these spiritual blessings, God certainly answers those prayers and helps us with it. We have all these things that God wants us to have, and He gives us the ability to keep them through His Word and sacrament. We're not only dead to sin, but we're also alive in our faith in Jesus. And by God's grace and ability, we're able to live that way. And as we do, we thank Him for His gift of holy baptism. I was in the checkout line at a store. The young mom was ahead of me. I had two boys, probably, I don't know, 5, 6 years old, something like that. And you know how you go through the checkout line, let's say at Walmart, and you put your stuff on the little conveyor belt, and on both sides of you, there's stuff there, isn't there? There's candy and magazines and all this stuff. And you can guess what these two boys were doing. They're looking at this thing, looking at that thing, and begging their mother, can we buy a candy bar? Can we buy this? Can we buy that? And mom stuck to her gun. She said, no, it's almost supper time, so we're not going to buy any of that other stuff. But these boys, they weren't taking no for an answer. They kept on asking and begging, what about this small thing over here? Can we have this? Can we do this? Typical kids, right? Not wanting to listen to what mom said, wanting to enjoy themselves with things they thought would be good for them. There's something like that in every one of us as we live our life here. God says, I want you to do this, but don't do that. Talk this way, but not that way. Make these things important, but not those things. God has all kinds of guidance for us, doesn't He? And sometimes we're tempted to be like those two young boys saying, well, can I just do this over here? Can I try that over there? Can I just have this part of my life being a spiritual life and this other part doing other things? We have our sinful nature that wants to distract us from what's important. We have a world that we live in that wants to shove God out of our lives altogether. And the devil, he's always working on us. How do you and I ever get through earthly life doing the things that God wants us to do? Here's a couple Bible verses. This is Titus 2, verse 11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. This is one from 2 Corinthians 5. Paul says, Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And then one more. This is from Philippians 4, verse 13. Paul says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You and I didn't do anything to get our faith. We don't do anything to keep ourselves in faith. But God gives us everything that we need to live as Christians each day. When we sin, he forgives us. When we need strengthening, he's there for us. And today we thank him for this simple sacrament of baptism where it all began, where God made us dead to sin and alive in faith, and what blessings we have because of it. We do a lot of special things here at church. Every time we have a baptism, I hope you remember your own and remember to thank him for this simple gift of holy baptism. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join in our confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Dear Lord Jesus, at your own baptism, you revealed yourself as the obedient Son of Man, fulfilling your Heavenly Father's plan. Your Father revealed you as his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. The Holy Spirit revealed you as the Christ, as he gave you the strength and ability to destroy the work of the devil. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our own baptisms. Through them, you have connected us to your powerful word and the gracious promises that come through that simple water in holy baptism. You have cleansed us from our sin. You have redeemed us from eternal death. You have clothed us with your perfection. We praise you for the promise and treasure of our baptism. Encourage us to remember our baptisms daily, as we live dead to sin and live a new life of faith with you. Hear us, Lord, as we spend a moment with our private prayers. All these things we ask in the name of our Savior Jesus, as we also join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.